Rav Kuf Yud sagt der Heilige Mishnah, Hamotzish Tarchov Achaviro. We continue now with the Ma'amorim of Admon, in which we have indications that a shtar was actually perua because of the circumstances. So here too, we have now, we had other cases in which the shtar of Mechira, whether it will, that would be a raya. So here too, we have somebody who owes money to someone else. And now this fellow comes along and he says, now listen here. You sold me a field, okay? I gave you money. Why'd you give me the field? You claim I owed you money, and that was already due at the time that you sold me the field. So then why did you not take the money that I had for your chov? Why in the world would you give me over your field? Must be that I was right in saying, nah, that shtar, I paid you off separately, or maybe even something's wrong with the shtar, says Rashi. So Admon Omer Yacholu Sheyomar, indeed that's what he could say. Ilu Hayiti Chayav Lecha. If I really owed you money, as you're claiming with the shtar, Hayalacha Li Parat Shecha Kishemacharta Li Atasadeh, you should have taken the money that I had and say, oh, you got money, how nice. Let me take that money because you owe it to me. Why would you give me the field? And Chacham Yom Omrim, no, Zaya Pikeach. On the contrary, he's a smart guy because he knows he'll never get his money. So he figures, okay, you know what? I'll sell him a field. Once he's got a field, now I know I can go collect real estate, so I'm going to collect the real estate. So what's wrong with that? It's a very good move. Once he's got a field, he can already now take the field as the mashkin or the payment for his loan. My time with the Rabbanon, Shapir Kamar Admon, isn't it true what Admon says? If it's a place where first you give the money and then you get the shtar, so obviously nobody's going to argue. I mean, in such a case, the Chachamim would also agree. If you gave me the money, I'm not going to turn around and say, okay, here's your sada. I'm going to say, yeah, well, that money, of course, was for my loan. Now, where's the money for the sada? That, of course, no, that you would be able to do. Of course. You're giving me money. Why can't I keep that money? I understand. You owe me. I don't care what you say it's for. I could be typhus the money, and I was typhus it. And I'm going to keep it. If you're dumb enough to give it to me, I'm certainly not stupid enough to give you a shtar for my soda for it. I'm going to keep it. Keep ligi b'atrak v'katfish shtar about a yafizuzi. The question is, how about if anyway, you'll never get your money unless you first write the shtar. So then, the Chachamim seem to make a lot of sense. The guy wants the shtar, he wants the sale, because he'll never get the money otherwise. And this way he can go and collect the sada. So that makes a lot of sense. So Admon says it's true, makes a lot of sense. But why didn't he say that as a modah before he wrote the shtar? I mean, doesn't he know it looks awfully funny? The guy owes him money. Doesn't he understand that the guy's going to claim that the shtar was porua? So he boy loy lamim sar modah. Why didn't he tell Adim that this is the case? Look, I'm telling you, I'm signing because I have no choice. Because the only way I can get money out of this guy is to pretend to go through with the sale. But then I'm going to go right into court the next day. I'm going to go collect my own field back. I mean, don't let him use it as a raya. And the Rabbanit Safra, no, you can never say to a guy, Iboya lochala meisra baida. Because people are afraid to be meisra baida. You can't trust anybody. Chavra chavra yisle, v'chavra chavra chavra yisle. I mean, as we know, everybody is six steps away, right? So therefore, at one point or another, I don't care where you are, I mean, at Timbuktu, the guy's going to find out somehow or other. It's going to be on the internet within a few seconds. Exactly.
Six steps is going.
That's true. Yeah, Jews definitely don't need six steps. I never even heard of a Jew who needs six steps. Not shy of him. Zorkei l'kemish shnayim shortziyush tarachov ze'alzeh. How about if you have two people, both of whom have a loan on the other? This is a very strange situation. So now Admon says, look, if you have over here, basically, let's say Reuven has an earlier shtar, right? And Shimon has a later shtar that he lent the money. So why can't now Shimon say to Reuven, come on, man, ilvayiti chayav lecha, kitzarata lovemi, man, is that ridiculous? You claim I owe you money. You've got a shtar that obviously was already magiyaz man piraon. You could have taken the shtar and collected my money, right? So instead, what do? You ask me for a loan. Does that make sense? I'm telling you that you know perfectly well that the shtar that's in your hand had been paid up, and you needed money, and now you went ahead and you took a loan from me, and I wrote out a shtar on the loan. But why in the world would we write out a shtar on a loan if anyway you owed, I owed you the money? So I must have not owed you the money. The Chachamim omrim, no. Zegovar shtar chovo, v'zegovar shtar chovo. Each one collects from the other. Now we'll see, well, what is that supposed to mean? I just don't bother collecting. I mean, why not just collect the guy who has the bill? It's a very funny lashon. Okay, and the Gemara is going to go through what the machlokas is and what is the meaning of going ahead and collecting one from the other. Each one. Shnayim shotzir shtar chov zelzeh. Reb Nachman v'zegoveh v'zegoveh. So Reb Nachman says that in a case where you have two people who have mutual loans against the other, each one collects. What the purpose in that is, we'll see. Reb Sheshes says, you know, there's a saying, Hafuchi matrata lamali. If you're carrying two bags that have precisely the same weight, would you switch the right one for the left one when you get a little tired? You know, to give your hands a rest. Exactly the same thing. What are you doing? You're saying, okay, I'll tell you what. You take my property, I'll take your property. What's the point of Zegovah? I'm assuming. Or otherwise, just the one can collect. You're saying Zegovah, Zegovah. What's the point? Elazel may be Shalom, Elazel may be Shalom. I mean, let each person stay in his own property and smile at the other one. Okay, we even Stevens, thank you very much. So therefore, what we have to say is that the Kuli Alma, of course everybody would agree that if both parties have property of the same type, obviously value is the same, but type is different. Sometimes if you have Edit, which is high quality karka, it'll be easier for you to sell that karka, though in the end, the sale of the junk karka, which is Ziburit, would be worth exactly the same. It's a larger piece, obviously. But it's not as easy to handle. And certainly you would much rather have good karka if you're going to keep the karka. So if both parties have equal quality land, idit v'idit, or benonit benonit, or ziburit ziburit, so then of course, I mean, everybody would agree, what's the point of hafuchi matrata? Because over there the two bags weigh the same. And the metaphor is a very good metaphor. You're carrying two exactly equivalent standard suitcases. And they're filled with exactly the same thing. Why would you be crazy? Because of the habit of changing hands? You would change your hand? So over there, that's not the question. Keep pleading. My locus over here is, for instance, let's say one of them has now Benonit, and one of them has Ziburit. Now it becomes advantageous for one of them to collect. So Reb Nachman, who says, let each one collect, he says, Zegoveh v'zegoveh, you know why that's meaningful? Because Kasavar b'shelohin shemin. He says the definition of what consists of the property that is Beinonit. And remember that a Baal Chov collects in Beinonit, right? So he holds, when the Chachomim gave that shir, Baal Chov b'Beinonit, Yamizek collects from Ibis, Baal Chov b'Beinonit, from Yetomim b'Ziburit, we had a whole list of different things. What defines Beinonit? Is that like an objective definition, or is that a relative definition? So Reb Nachman says, it's a relative definition. When they say Beinonit, they mean the Beinonit of what the borrower has. So let's say the borrower has three levels of property, which to me are all Ziburit, but the middle level is his Beinonit. I can't say, but wait a minute. I mean, everybody knows your best piece of property is lousy. It's Zibur, so I'm going to take the best, because even that's not a good Beinonit. Says Reb Nachman, no, it's all relative. So you can collect from his Beinonit. Since that's the case, so now it's very advantageous, because watch what happens. The Bala Ziburit, he can come along, and he collects the Beinonit. When we're using the word Ziburit and Beinonit, we mean objective Ziburit and Beinonit. Right? Just to give it a reference, to explain why it would be valuable. So now, the guy who owns Ziburit, he's going to go ahead and collect the only karka that the other guy has. That karka is better than his Ziburit because it's objective Beinonit. Now, that karka becomes to him Idit, because that's his best karka. The other guy collecting back can't collect his best karka. He can only collect his worst karka. When he collects his worst karka, the other one is left with this guy's good karka, and he's left with the other guy's lousy karka. So it was, but it's not a fuchi matarta. I mean, over there, they both weighed exactly the same, the two suitcases. Over here, he ends up getting a better deal because that suitcase was in better condition than his suitcase. So we're not being a fuchim atrat.
And it has to do with which.
Oh, that we're going to get to. The Gemara is going to ask what the heck the difference is if lamaisa they're coming to be geiva simultaneously. We'll get to that. So therefore, Reb Nachman says it's going to make a big nafkamina. No, they're going to switch pieces of property. Whereas Reb Sheshes Amar, Reb Sheshes who says, I understand, what's the point of taking a suitcase that weighs exactly the same from your right hand to your left hand? Lomali. That's because he holds Kosovar B'shel Kol Adam Hein Shami. The point over here is that you're going to take objective Beinonis. So you're not going to get a chance to switch anything by claiming, hey, you can't take that karka, that's my edict. You'll have to take Ziburi. I say, excuse me, you want to take a look at the Johnson Book of Karkot Valuation? This is called Beinonit. But it's my best. Who cares what it is to you? Objectively, it's Beinonit. That's what I'm going to collect, which means you're going to end up taking back your own piece of property, which he just collected from you. In which case, you're literally a fuchi matarta. So what would be the point? So therefore, so in the end result is, when you come now to collect, the second guy comes to collect, he's going to end up taking back the same piece of property that he gave in the first place. So Ahu Beinoni did not shake a shaker. He's going to end up taking his own Beinoni because it's objectively Beinoni. And we go according to the objective evaluation. Just hold on a minute. As Rav Moti just pointed out, okay, who comes first over here? Why are we make the assumption, Rav Nachman? My chazita da toy bal ziburit bereisha. Late bal beinonit bereisha v'ligve ziburit v'ahadav ligve liandait. Why are we specifically saying that it works out according to Reb Nachman because of the fact that we go to the evaluation of this own guy, and therefore when he first collects the other person's karka becomes to him it is, the other person is stuck with collecting what's only ziburis, so that they end up effectively switching fields. Yeah, but that's only if he came to collect first. So why, according to Reb Nachman, would we first collect the other guy's Beinonis and make it his Edis? Let's do it the other way. And then it ends up accomplishing nothing even according to Reb Nachman. I mean, again, just say, let's pick out of a hat which one should be able to collect first. Well, let's just see that inside. I mean, so the Taina is the Gemara. Why would we say Bal Zibur Bereisha? Let the Bala Beinonit come Bereisha. Let him take the Ziburit, right? And then he'll end up and take it back again. I mean, so we're left in the same situation we were before. Well, that's not a problem. Let's circle to cut him Tave. Obviously, Reb Nachman's talking about in a case where he was the first one to be Tovea. So who cares who's Tovea first? The court has two cases in front of it. This other guy, as soon as he became the Nitva, he went into court and he showed them that he's got a shtar against the other guy, and he's also a Tovea, right? So now the court's going to say, because this one comes first, so therefore, why would we say that? The court's going to say, okay, we've got a case over here where two people owe each other. Let's figure out what to do. So it's always going to be, the court's going to figure, why do it this way? Why not do it the other way? In which case, we don't accomplish anything, so let them just say goodbye to each other and wave. Well, what would be the possible reason where we would say, you have a right indeed to insist that you're going to switch karkaot a little bit of because b'shalo ain't shami? But it's completely arbitrary. Therefore, as to the Gemara, sof, kiyoto lemigve, when they're coming to collect, the court is going to act simultaneously on both of them, right? So then it's going to be mahari adari ka'atu. So that's not a good explanation. Ooh, you're right. Okay, let's start over again. Understanding the machlokas. Obviously, that's true. This doesn't work out. Ella, here's the case. Lo tzrichu be'idle lechad idit u'beinonit. One of them has both idit and beinonit, and the other one has only ziburit. So mar savar b'shalo him shami, umar savar b'shal kol adam him shami. So in this case, it's not a fuchi matrata, because no matter how you look at it, he is going to end up better off. The guy who has ziburit is going to end up better off. Because if you say b'shalohin shamim, the other person's never going to be able to take the better piece of property that you got from him. See, even when we analyze the bottom line, if they owe each other, the guy who has ziburit is going to end up switching a piece of property and getting rid of his ziburit and being able to keep the better piece. So there would be no way out of it. Whereas the chachamim would say, no, I mean, we don't go b'shalo. Chachamim, I mean, okay. says the Gemara, but what about the Mishnah? How can there be a machlokes Reb Nachman and Reb Sheshes when the Mishnah says beferish what the din is? The Chachamim omrim, zegove vezegove. That's exactly what Reb Nachman said. Reb Sheshes said, why would, if we had mutual shtarot, would we have each one being gove? It's ridiculous. You're just switching your hands for the same suitcase. So says the Gemara, and the Mishnah, what? You never saw the Mishnah. The Mishnah says beferish like Reb Nachman. Exactly the same words as Reb Nachman. Zegoveh, zegoveh. What does he understand about the Mishnah? Says Reb Nachman, no. Hold on a second. Me and Reb Sheshes are not arguing about a Mishnah. I'll explain to you what Reb Sheshes is timing. Reb Sheshes wasn't there, but Reb Nachman explained. Tirgum Reb Nachman to leave the Reb Sheshes. Obviously, the case over there, it has nothing to do with my case. This is what Reb Sheshes would say. That here we're talking about, in the Mishnah, Kagonshalava Zela Esa, Vezela Chamesh. We had two separate halva'ot. One is 10-year, a 10-year loan, and one is a 5-year loan. So now, wait, which one came first exactly? Echidami. I mean, Ilay Marishon Le'Esa. The first one now is a 10-year loan, and the second one is a 5-year loan. So understand, obviously Admon would never have said in such a case, but Admon ilu ayiti chayav lacha ketzer ata lovemi meni. I mean, obviously we know why lovemi meni, right? It's very clear. I'm trying to get a 10-year loan. If I can't come along now and get my money, I've got 5 years worth of additional funding. This is very important to me. So, I mean, that can't be the case, right? So, what do you mean? He's got 5 years to wait. You're telling me, why would I not collect? I can't collect. I got 5 years. I need money. No? So what kind of silly tina is that? So that can't be the case.
It's going to come due at the same time?
No, that's what he's saying. We're going to get to this. Ela, what are you going to say? We're going to get to that in a moment. Rishon lechamish, v'sheni le'eser. So the case over here is it would have to be the other way around. First loan is a loan for 5 years, and then the second guy came and he borrowed money for 10 years. Now, what's the case? I mean, as Rabbi Yaakov just asked, was the loan already due? Either bate zimne. I mean, if the loan was already due, so why in the world would a guy take out a loan when his loan for the same amount of money was already due? Obviously, he's a liar. He already received that money, or the shtar is mezuyef. I mean, but there's no way. He'd have to be crazy to do something like that. So, why would the Rabbanan say that? And if he couldn't collect his loan, so why would Admon say, well, why didn't you collect your loan? What do you mean, why not collect my loan? Halom batazimne, I couldn't collect my loan. So, I don't understand how this is going to help. Either the Chachamim make no sense or Admon makes no sense. So it can't possibly be that that's Reb Sheshes' solution to the Mishnah. Says Reb Nachman, no, it is. It is, but it's a completely different issue. The case over here is like this. He takes out the loan from the other guy on the very day that is Erev, his loan collection. Right? So in other words, if he waits one more day, he's going to be able to get his money back, b'teras, not halva'ah, but b'teras payment. So now, that's the question. Do we say that people can be desperate for liquidity, desperate enough to actually take out a loan because they need the money today? He can't to get anybody to give him a bridge loan for a day. So Mamela, he's got to take out the whole mortgage, which never does happen. Right, you go through the whole ridiculous mortgage procedure for a 20-year mortgage because you don't have funds for a month. This happens all the time. So basically over here, he's going to be able to collect. He says, what do you mean? But I needed the money that day. How can you bring a raya that I got money when I couldn't have collected the money? That's the machlokas. So Marsavar Abidinish to Yaziv Layume. So the Chachamim say, listen, for one day a guy can also be desperate. Whereas Admon is saying, no, he could say to him, look, if you knew tomorrow, you'd be able to get your money. Does it make sense that you went ahead now, wrote a contract, did a whole deal in order to get money for one day? Lo avin inish diyaziv liyume. Rami Bar Chama says, no, it's very, very simple. See, there's a big advantage, because if we're talking about Yitomim, okay, Yitomim can collect, and they will collect from Beinit, right? But you now, agvuye lo magbina minay, you cannot collect from Yitomim. So therefore, obviously, there would be an advantage over here in going ahead and collecting. That's not called a fuchi matrata. Says the Gemara, what is that supposed to mean? The Chachomim say zegoveh vezegoveh. And you're saying, no, it doesn't mean zegoveh vezegoveh. It means zegoveh. What are we, crazy? I mean, of course, if one party can collect and the other party doesn't have rights to collection because it's Yesomim, so what are we talking about? Well, what it really means, says Rami Bar Chama, is zegoveh vezeraui ligvot. If he could, but he can't. But ain't lo. He's raui ligvot, but ain't lo. He has nothing to be goveh. Omar Rav, well, I got two little problems with that issue. First, it does say that you can collect. I mean, that's always a problem to Rav. You know, when it says something, it really means what it says. So it says Rav, my first problem is Chada. It does say zegoveh vezegoveh. It does not say zegoveh vezeh, theoretically goveh, but can't in the circumstances. Secondly, it doesn't make any sense anyway. Because what we should do is, again, if we're saying, what's the bottom line? I'll tell you what the bottom line is. Bottom line is that the court says, an interesting case. The Yatomim can be goveh. Okay, Yatomim, you were just goveh. Thank you, the Yatomim now have karka. Now the other guy says, oh, wow, look at that. I recognize that field. So you say, that's the field your father left you in exchange for a loan that I have. Very nice. I want it. So therefore, why bother exchanging it and writing out new deeds? Just keep it. So therefore, does this make sense? You're not achieving anything. Go ahead and let the Yatomim collect this karka, ligvino arliyatmi, and then let him go back and collect it from the Yatomim. Then lehadev ligvino minayo, because this is exactly what Rav Nachman's shita is. Kiriyomer Rav Nachman, Don Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua, if Yatomim collect property that was due because of a loan that was their father had made, so be'etzem that property is part of the estate that their father left them. So even though at the time that he died, he didn't leave them any karka, but the moment that they get that karka, 10 years later, whenever it is, that's karka that their father left them. If it's karka that their father left them, then if there were actual loans against their father, then those loans are collectible from that karka. So it doesn't do you any good to tell me, well, but the Yatomim can collect, but they can't be collected from. Of course they can be collected from. They can be collected from if their father left them property. But here, by definition, their father left them property, because if they're collecting from one side, the other side turns around and takes it away. So what would be the point of exchanging ownership for a day? It's ridiculous. It's an exercise in futility. So how would you understand the Machlokas and the Mishnah then? Ooh, Kasha, that is a problem. I mean, Rami Bar Chama's approach does not seem to be going anywhere. Hold on, what? Wait a minute, there's still a solution with Rami Bar Chama. What does he have to say that they don't have property? You're right, that would be a problem. But why don't we say like this? The Yatomim have Ziburit. The other guy has Edit. He has Edit, he has Benedit, whatever, but it's better than whatever they have. It's not really necessary to say he has two. Whatever he has. The Yatomim now go and they collect the Benedit. Right? Now, what are you going to say? Since they collected the Benedit, so that Benedit now becomes collectible from them? No. I don't care what you hold. I don't care if you hold B'shalom Govim, B'shalom Govim, I don't care. Because the halach is that whenever you're Govim from Yatomim, you're only Govim Ziburit anyway. So in this case, it would be irrelevant. You cannot take more than the Ziburit from Yatomim. In which case, there would be a big advantage. It wouldn't be a fuchi matrata. Whatever it is that they collect can't be taken from them. You'll only be able to collect from them the ziburit. So therefore, it's advantageous to them. It's not going to be just switching deeds. It's going to be switching karka. They're going to be getting a better piece of karka, because this guy is stuck with suing for ziburit. And the Yatomim can take whatever is due them in Benedit. So that would explain why we would switch it. Why are you saying that it's a problem? Rami Bar Chama, we got a simple solution over here. Why do you say that? The Azla Yatmi Gavu Benanit, Umagvula Ziburit. They're only going to be collectible from Ziburit, because even if you hold, Inami Bishal Kol Adam En Shamid, even if you hold the collection is objective, and it will say, well, objectively, this is Benanit, it doesn't matter. Because Ein Nifraim Minichsei Yatomim Elam Ziburit anyway, you can never collect more than Ziburit when it comes to Nichsei Yatomim. So therefore, we got a perfect solution. Says, well, you don't have any solution at all. I'll tell you why you don't have a solution. Because ani mili hechad lo tafas. Aval hechad tafas, tafas. You can't collect from your tummy more than ziburit. But suppose you went ahead and took over a piece of property, we don't throw you out of it. Well, in this case, boy, did you take over this property. You've been sitting there for the past 50 years. They're the ones who are coming to take it from you. They say, well, you owe this to our father. You know something? You're right. I do. But how about if I just keep it in exchange for the debt that your father owes me? Baba, you can only collect ziburit. You're right. But you know what? I don't want to collect. I already collected. So now try to get me out of here. That's tfisa. So it wouldn't have done you the least bit of good to say that theoretically they would exchange karka. Oh, why should this guy let them exchange karka? Oh, since by definition it's his karka, that's the best tfisa you could ever have. Therefore, there would be no point. It wouldn't even be a fuchi matrat. It would be zero. Simply zero. The tfisa already took place. Zokta helika mishneh, shalosh aratzot nisuin. I gotta get to the airport. Shalosh aratzot nisuin. We've got three separate areas of Eretz Yisrael which have very important implications for marriage, because one of the big problems in marriages around which many marriages actually break down is where to live. He wants X, she wants Y. They've been living in Z for the past 20 years. All of a sudden he wants to make Aliyah. Aliyah, she said. Aliyah. Are you kidding? To me, that's a yirida. Look at this lousy house you're moving to. Look at, it's ridiculous. And no car. This you call a car, a Peugeot. So anyway, what is the halacha legabi this halacha? So we have three different areas when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. We have Yehuda, we have Eivor HaYarden, and we have the Galil. By the way, it's very Rashash points out, why do we put Eivor HaYarden between Yehuda and the Galil? I mean, it should be Yehuda, Galil, and Eivor HaYarden. See, this is a brilliant teretz. It's actually not his kashim. All the Mefarshei Mishnah says there's a brilliant teretz. His teretz is based on the Gemara of Ritzu of Eretz Ami was chaylik between Yehuda and the Galil. So therefore, the correct way is indeed Yehuda, then you have Eivor, and then you get to the Galil. But this way, you stay in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have the Ritzu of Tumas Eretz Ami in the middle. So it's a very beautiful remit. Thank you very much, dear President. I'm sorry for taking away your Zakar Elika Mishnah. It's like a heavy duty price to pay for tea. So the din is like this. Once we've established these three separate territories, the halacha is like this. You cannot force a partner in a marriage. Man can't force a woman can't force a man, at least according to most of Shonim, this is mutual. You cannot force even going from one city to another city if it's in a different medina. Now a city, remember, is a midtown city, mid-sized city. A krach is a metropolitan area. So even if it's the same type of living, it's city living or it's metropolis living, it's not possible to force a partner to move unless you're in exactly the same Eretz. And what defines the Eretz? These three parts. So in other words, all of Eretz Yehuda is one, all of Eretz HaGalil is one, and all of Eivor HaYarden is one. So in other words, if you want to get somebody to move from Chispin to Ramot Golan, or whatever, so that you can do, assuming they're about the same size. I think they are. But you certainly cannot force somebody into a different country, so to speak. So they're at the same land, but you cannot force a partner to move from a small town to a large town, and you cannot force a partner to move from a large town to a small town, because there are very serious advantages to living in a country style living, as we'll see. There's environmental advantages. There's very serious advantages to living in a metropolitan area. Job opportunities. So I think what Shugamar is going to discuss. Amazing. So contemporary. It's absolutely astounding. So you can never force a partner to change your lifestyle. Motzi'in minavara ala navayafa. Furthermore, if it's in the same type of living, you can also force to go from a worse place, is even the same style, but it's not of the same level. So it's not, again, it depends. different Rishonim have different approaches to it. We'll see why in the Gemara. But basically, it boils down to, in terms of all of the shitas, everything. Better economic conditions, higher standards of living, better air quality, and so on and so forth. It's all included in Navera Ayafa, Navera A. So, but you can force from a lousy life quality to a better life quality. But you cannot force Yetziah, even if it's the same type of thing, city, metrop, if it's going to be a lower quality of life. Surprisingly, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Af lo minavara ala navayafa." You cannot force a partner to take on a higher standard of living. Why? Because hanavayafa bodek. The higher your standard of living, the greater the tension of maintaining it. Remarkable. So in other words, we'll see, but Pashtus, the Gemara, the Rambam takes the Gemara as a metaphor, as we'll see. But basically the way he learns is, look, the amount of attention that you have to put into maintaining that lifestyle. If you're living a lower lifestyle, she doesn't have to go shopping every other day to make sure that she's now at the latest style. She goes shopping once every 3 months. If you're living a lower lifestyle, she doesn't have to do the laundry every other day. Now, what's the difference if you wore the same dress for 3 days? And so on and so forth. So therefore, it tests you. It tests your ability to keep up. And you're not mukhliyev to keep up. You can say, listen, I'm happy, very happy living a simple lifestyle. It's all very nice to say, but isn't this better? No, it's not better. I'd prefer to have an easier and simpler life than a more complicated life. Amazing, no? Again, mom is like straight out of the newspaper this morning. A half of a fellow. So contemporary. We'll see. We're going to see now in the Gemara. So, Bishlema Mikrach Le'ir. I understand why it is that you can't force a partner to move from a metropolitan area to a small town. Because Mikrach Shchichi Kol Mili. Look, you're in a metropolitan area. Everything is available to you. You got jobs. You got shopping. There's no problem. And then in a small town, Lo Shchichi Kol Mili, it's difficult. I mean, maybe there's like one Walmart, you know. But I mean, how much are you going to be able to get wherever you go? Elamir Lekrach. Isn't it only advantageous to move to Borough Park? I mean, I thought everybody wants to live in Borough Park, no? I mean, Meir Lekrach, my time. Misayei Alei L'Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina. This proves Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina's contention. The Omer Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina, Minayin Sheyeshivat Krachin Kasha. How do we see that it is very trying to live in a metropolitan area? I don't care how much you got over there. But basically, the stress level is mad. Let me tell you something. You want to live in the old city? May God be with you. Zos design get benched. But I mean, we hope you're a volunteer. It's incredible. So anybody would volunteer to live in the old city is going to be out of his mind. So everybody else is going to give him a bracha. So, but it's the greatest place in the world to live. You're right. You go do it yourself. It's great. So you see from there, Lamaisa, that it's all very nice to look at the good side, but if a partner says, I can't take it, you know, they have a right to say, I can't take it. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, look, a higher lifestyle is bodek. So what does bodek mean? Now, because of this coming mimer, many of you should have look on the Rambam. Because the Rambam says it's really a function of lifestyle. And a higher lifestyle on any level, it forces you to try to keep up. But the Gemara brings Shmuel's mimer, which is simple in terms of environment, physical environment. And it says, K'dishmuel, Yomer Shmuel, Shinui Veset, Tchilat Chole Me'ayim. When you change your style, you change your seder of living, that's the first thing that makes you sick. So you see, it's a biological issue we're talking about, which must mean Navea Yafa, Navea Ra'a, is just a function of air quality and things like that. Of course, the answer is obvious. I mean, as all the Mefarshei Rambam says, the Rambam says, look, Shinui Veset has to be Dafka. It's, in terms of metaphorically, it's the first thing to give you stomach illness. Well, and you don't think people get colitis from the stress level of living in a bigger town. a higher lifestyle. That's also, Shmuel's not talking about she invests in what you eat only, or what you breathe. He's saying anything that now creates different levels of stress, it's going to make you crazy. And it's going to be first seen in your digestive system, which is a remarkable thing. It's exactly where you're most sensitive. Amazing. I can't get over these. Amazing, amazing, amazing singing. Katuv b'sefer ben Sira. Indeed, it says in Ben Sira, that we love to tell you not to read, that ko yemei ani ra'im, that all days of an ani are miserable. Now, how do you say all days of an ani are miserable? I mean, there's Shabbatot, there's Yamim Tovim, as a beautiful description of the Jews of Salonika that is written by a goy that I saw. Just astounding. This is a goy tourist, one of his old, you know, early tourist books. He describes the Jewish community on Shabbos. And he says, he's never seen anything like it. You see these simple port workers that all week long, their mom is stevedores. Really, you come on Shabbos, you see the same guys. They're dressed like kings. They're clean. They look like mamish. I mean, they're unogim. Walking down the streets, taking over the whole city. And everybody like feels, you know, like nothing compared to that. They doesn't understand. Where is this? How did they get this? So this is mamish. What about Shabbos? So how can Ben Sira say that Shabbos and Yom Tov is ra? I mean, even for an ani, it's great. No, that's the point. The poor ani, even when he has a good day, he's going to get sick from it. So he eats a good cholent, but how long is he going to be spending in the bathroom? That's the problem. So mamela, it's called yemei ani ra'im, even Shabbatot and Yomim Tovim. What's that? Because it continues on. Because it's part of it, right? The part that's Ben Sira. Ben Sira Omer Af Leilot. He adds to the puzzle. Af Leilot Peshefo Gagim Gago. Ubamurom Harim Karmo. So Shlomo, he didn't know what he was talking about. What, it's only the days? It's the nights too. Why are the nights bad? I mean, what, anybody sleeps, they sleep. Ah! Because where exactly the guys in the penthouse, all the rain's falling off the roof. Where exactly does it come from, the penthouse? To the guy on the bottom floor. But that's the oni. So his roof is the lowest roof. So obviously that's where all the water is going to be penetrating. He's the first house that's going to get flooded when it rains. Like to see him try to sleep through that. So he ain't going to sleep either. Meanwhile, he's sitting there thinking, oh my God, my vineyard. Where's his vineyard? The one that's furthest away from town, all the way up on top of the mountain. Where do you think the land goes when the rain comes? It's all washed down to the bottom, so it silts down. So he's thinking, oh my God, all of that topsoil, and there goes my carom. So he says, mimtar gagim legago. So all of everybody else's rain comes and hits his ceiling. Umiafar karmolik rabim, and all of his poor topsoil is going to be given out to the people who need it anyway. You can force a partner in a marriage, and we'll see, not only a partner in a marriage, you can force, according to both Rishonim, if you're an Eved, you can force the guy who owns you to make Aliyah. Well, I don't have to work here in Chutz La'aretz. What do you mean you're working for me, man? Yeah, I know, but, I mean, we have to live in Eretz Yisrael, you know? So the field includes even Avodim. No, every different. So, although we'll see, there's a halacha dagei every 92 in a moment, which is the Yoraisa, according to Moshe. Sako ma'alim l'Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ina ko motzi'in. Nobody can get you out of Eretz Yisrael, but anybody can bring you in. And even if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, people can insist on moving to Yerushalayim. Hako ma'alim l'Yerushalayim. And nobody can kick you out of Yerushalayim. Echad ha'anashim ve'echad ha'anashim. Now, if you were Nosei Isha Be'eretz Yisrael, Vigir Isha Be'eretz Yisrael. So now, we know that there were different monetary coinages, of course, even though the face value is the same. But Lamaisa, there were places like in Kapotke where they would make heavy coins. They didn't rely as much on the face value of the coin, which people prefer. There's coins of Eretz Yisrael, which are lighter. If you married in Eretz Yisrael and you divorced in Eretz Yisrael, you pay me Mimot Eretz Yisrael. But let's say you married a woman in Eretz Yisrael, and you divorce her in Kapotkia. Nonetheless, you pay her for Mo'ot Eretz Yisrael, which seems to imply that it goes according to where you created the she'ibud of the ketuvah. But then we turn around and we say that if nasai shabe kapotkia vigir shabe eretz Yisrael, noten lamimot eretz Yisrael, which is a contradiction. Why then all of a sudden does it go according to the place where you're going to be gova the ketuvah? I thought before you said it goes according to the place where you made the she'ibud on the ketuvah. The Gemara is going to ask this question. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, no. In that case, noten lamimot kapotkia. Nasad, so therefore I say it has to be consistent. Either you go according to the she'ibud, you go according to the gerush. Nasai isha bekapotkia, v'girsha bekapotkia, then noten la mima'ot kapotkia. Now, when you say hako ma'alin, latuyemai, that includes even avadim. So in other words, the evan, and again, according to most Rishonim, in both directions, so that anybody can force, the evan can force you, not just you can force the evan. I didn't know you were in the middle of a How about according to the Girsa Kapotkis in Baneya's neighborhood? Cappadocia, Turkey. Ulamanda Tuni Avadim Behedya. How about according to the Girsa that the Mishnah says Echada Ish Vechada Ish Vechada Eved? So according to that Girsa, why say Hakol? So then what's it coming to add? Latriyemai. Ah, the Hakol is coming Latriye even Minavaya Fala Navahara. Ah. You can insist on making aliyah, even though the standard of living is much lower. Ve'en hakol motzin, you say hakol again, you can't take you out. I mean, is there a chiv? I mean, to say that, obviously. I mean, if you're able to force to come in, obviously you can't force to go out. No, that's latuya neved kanani. If an eved runs away from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, and he's an eved kanani, the guy now comes along, and he's found the Interpol, has now found his Eved. Of course, it's one of the main things that Interpol does, find escaped slaves, as we know. So we say to the guy, listen, sir, you cannot remove this Eved from Eretz Yisrael. And that's a diuraita, according to me, right? I'll task your Eved, I'll do not. So you can't, if you came from Eretz Yisrael, we say, look, Zavne Hacha, you sell this Eved here in Eretz Yisrael so he can remain in Eretz Yisrael. And out you go. You want to go back to Chutz La'aretz Zil. Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You can't take somebody out of Eretz Yisrael, even an Eved. Hakol ma'alim liYerushalayim latuyemai. And what does it mean when it says hakol, to bring up to Yerushalayim? Also, even if you've got a beautiful place in Beit Shemesh and a little tiny dira in Yerushalayim, you go from Navaya Fala Navara, then hakol motzin latuyemai. Isn't it obvious? So it doesn't say you can't be over here to include Avadim, because we would not want to encourage Yeshivas Eved Kanani in Yerushalayim. Why would we think that would be an advantage? Mishum Yishuv Yerushalayim? We don't have a din of Yishuv Yerushalayim. We would choose. He is a Jew. The moment he became an Eved Kanani, he's a Jew. But nonetheless, he doesn't have Yichas. And he doesn't have all his Chiyuvim and so on. So again, the Rishonim say, what is that supposed to mean? You're being Medayik Al Tazger Eved La'adonav. I mean, how do you know to be medayik this level of kedusha, not that level of kedusha? I mean, where does Tosfos get this from? Okay, but anyway, afilu minavah ranavayvad and einachinami. It doesn't come to include anything, but I did it. Tani reisha ein motzin tadasefanami ein motzin. But indeed, there is no bigger chiddush in this case. Tana rabbanan who omer la'alot. He says, I want to make aliyah. She says, Ah, no way. Yomer shlo la'alot. Kofino tala, Lord, if you love, they'd say below ketuvah. You want to get divorced? I'm not going to pay you a penny. You don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael? I don't want to make aliyah. Goodbye. What about my ketuvah? No ketuvah. He omeret, la lot. Vuhu omer shalom la lot. Same thing. She wants to make aliyah. He doesn't want to get aliyah. Kofino tala, Lord. And if he doesn't want to go, so we force him to give a get, to pay his ketuvah through the nose, and that's all. Let her go up to Eretz Yisrael and make aliyah without him. He omeret latzeit, v'hu omer shalom latzeit, kofinota shalom latzeit, v'im lav teitzei b'lo ketuva. V'hu omer latzeit, v'hu omer shalom latzeit, kofinota shalom latzeit, v'im lav yotzi v'yitein ketuva. So the same thing is true about coming out from Yerushalayim to outside of Yerushalayim, or from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. If she insists on wanting to leave, and she can't live here anymore, so fine, if he doesn't want to go, he has every right to divorce her and not pay her a penny. And vice versa. I'm sorry, I have to finish a little early today.